All right, let's jump into another deep dive. This time we're heading way back to ancient India, to the world of Vedic mythology. Get ready for some epic cosmic battles, guys. Gods and demons.
And these stories aren't just exciting, you know. They give us this incredible look into early Hindu cosmology, a totally different way of thinking about the universe and like where we fit into it all.
Totally. And today we're zeroing in on Indra. He was like the top god in the whole Vedic pantheon, this powerful warrior king. You always see him with his thunderbolt and he's ruling over storms and rain.
Exactly. But in the Vedas, he's way more than just some strong god. He's like the key to the whole cosmic order working.
Yeah.
And that thunderbolt, the Vajra, it's not just a cool weapon. It represents his power over chaos itself.
Chaos, huh? That's interesting. What was it about chaos that made it such a huge deal in Vedic thought?
Well, picture a world where the monsoons are totally unpredictable, right? Droughts and floods could just hit you out of nowhere. For ancient India, chaos was a real constant threat. It was about survival.
So Indra's power over the storms, it wasn't just about bringing rain for good harvests. It was about keeping everything stable, holding back the forces of chaos for the entire world.
Right. It was about that balance between order and chaos, keeping creation safe. And the best example of this is his legendary battle against Vritra, you know, that monstrous serpent who's all about drought.
Oh yeah, the Vritra showdown. That's got to be way more than just another hero versus monster story.
Oh, it is. This battle is like a foundation myth for Hindu cosmology. So, Vritra, he's this huge serpent, and he's trapped all the water in the world, total drought everywhere, suffering. And Indra, armed with his thunderbolt, he challenges Vritra to a duel.
Wow, so this fight, it's got cosmic stakes. It's not just about beating a monster. It's about setting the life-giving waters free and restoring order to the whole universe.
You got it. And when Indra finally slays Vritra, it's not just a win for the gods. It's like a symbol of how the universe was created. The water flows, life flourishes, order wins over chaos. It's a powerful image, and it meant a lot to the Vedic people.
This is making me think. If Indra was so crucial, why isn't he as big a deal in later Hindu traditions? Like, he's still around, but not as central as in the Vedas. What happened?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's almost like Indra's story is like a tiny version of how Hindu thought changed, you know? Hinduism, it transformed so much over the centuries.
I see what you mean. Ancient India wasn't just standing still, right? Societies change, beliefs change, and the values people have, they change too. Did all that affect how people saw the divine, like the gods?
Absolutely. Early Vedic society, they were really focused on warriors. And Indra, that powerful warrior king, he was like the perfect symbol for that time. But as Indian civilization grew, new philosophical and spiritual ideas started to pop up, you know?
Like, what kinds of shifts are we talking about? What were these new ideas that changed the religious landscape?
Well, there was this idea of dharma, you know, like righteous conduct, doing your duty. And then there's moksha, this idea of breaking free from the cycle of birth and death. These concepts, they shifted the focus from outward conquest to more inward reflection, like spiritual growth.
Almost like ancient India's mindset was changing, right? Moving away from the warrior stuff and towards a more introspective, philosophical way of looking at the world.
Yeah, exactly. And as these new values took hold, you could see it in the gods they worshipped. Deities like Vishnu, the preserver, and Shiva, the destroyer and transformer, they started to resonate more, you know, with the spiritual needs of the people.
It makes me think of those incredible temples they built for Vishnu and Shiva all over India. Architectural masterpieces, you know, a real testament to how powerful these gods became.
They are. And their prominence, it really shows how the religious scene was changing. Indra was still a powerful god, of course, associated with places like the heavens, but he wasn't the only one people worshipped anymore.
So it's not like they just forgot about Indra or threw him out. More like the gods. They got a new job description, right?
Yep.
Different gods stepped up to represent those changing values and spiritual goals people had.
Precisely. It's a fascinating example of how in polytheistic systems, those systems, they can change and adapt over time. It shows you how dynamic human belief systems can be.
It's cool that even though Indra's role changed, they didn't just erase him, right? He still has a place in Hinduism.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And that shows you how complex Hindu mythology really is. It's not like they just replace one god with another. It's more about layers, you know, reinterpretations and stories that keep evolving. The old gods, they don't just vanish. They take on new meanings, new associations as the culture changes around them.
I wonder if you see that in other cultures and religions too, this idea that gods change and adapt over time, reflecting the needs and values of the people who follow them.
Oh, it's definitely a pattern. You see it in a lot of mythologies. Gods, they're often reflections of the societies that create them. They embody ideals, fears, hopes, all of that. And as those societies evolve, their gods do too.
You know, we've been talking about how Indra's role changed, but our sources, they suggest he wasn't always this perfect, flawless being either.
Yeah.
He's got a bit of a complex personality, right?
He does. The Vedas, even though they revere Indra, they also show his flaws. He's often shown as having this big appetite for food, drink, and especially for soma, that ritual drink they thought gave you divine powers.
And soma wasn't exactly a refreshing drink, was it? It was intoxicating, right? What was so special about soma in Vedic rituals, and how did it connect to Indra?
Soma was huge. It was like the drink of the gods, the source of power, even immortality. The Vedas, they show Indra drinking tons of soma, which gives him strength and makes him brave in battle.
So it wasn't just about getting his fill. Soma was like the symbol of divine power, and when Indra drank it, it just reinforced his status as the king of the gods.
You got it. But the funny thing is, Indra's love for soma, it also led to some, well, let's say less admirable qualities. The Vedas say he could be impulsive, quick to anger, even a bit of a braggart sometimes.
That's really interesting. Even the most powerful god, he wasn't portrayed as perfect. He had weaknesses, you know, vulnerabilities just like us.
Exactly. That's what makes these myths so interesting. They deal with how complex life is, even on a cosmic level. Gods, just like humans, they can have flaws, even when they have those incredible powers.
Like the ancient Greek gods. They were famous for their, well, their very human flaws, right? It's almost like those imperfections, they make the gods more relatable, more human, even though they have superhuman abilities. Did those flaws ever get Indra into trouble, though?
Oh, they did sometimes. There are stories where he acts impulsively or gets too proud, and it leads to mistakes, even defeats.
So even the king of the gods, he wasn't invincible. He had challenges, setbacks, just like anyone else.
Exactly. And those setbacks, those moments when he's vulnerable, they make his victories even more important, you know? They remind us that even gods face obstacles, they make mistakes, and they have to overcome adversity. It's a very human experience, even on a cosmic scale.
I like that. Even with all that power and facing impossible odds, there's still this struggle, this need to overcome challenges.
And that struggle, that journey of overcoming, that's something that really speaks to us, you know, whether it's in ancient myths or in our own lives. It's what makes stories so powerful, both old and new. They help us understand how complex life is, they help us find meaning when things are tough, and they help us celebrate those triumphs of the human spirit.
You know, we've been talking about Indra's flaws, but I'm struck by how his imperfections are often connected to his role as the protector of cosmic order. It's like his vulnerabilities, they actually make his victories more meaningful because they show that constant struggle to maintain balance in a world that's naturally chaotic.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It's not just about Indra being strong, it's about him being willing to face chaos, to keep fighting, to keep things in order, even when he has to face his own limitations.
And this idea of chaos keeps coming up, doesn't it? It's not just Vritra, the drought demon. It's this always present threat to the stability of everything, right?
Exactly. The Vedas describe a universe where order is always being threatened by forces of chaos. Storms, floods, attacks from demons, and all kinds of supernatural beings. It's a world where you always have to be on guard, where the forces of order can never rest.
So it's not like Indra is just chilling on his throne in the heavens,
Yeah.
you know, drinking soma and enjoying his wins. He's got a full-time job, and it's a tough one.
He does. He's always on call, ready for any threat. He's like the ultimate cosmic firefighter, always ready to rush in with his thunderbolt and put out those fires of chaos that could destroy everything.
I love that. The cosmic firefighter, always there to protect creation.
And that's why his victories are celebrated so much in the Vedas. They mean balance is restored, life is renewed, order wins over destruction. It gives a sense of security in a world that can feel really unpredictable and
It
dangerous.
makes you appreciate how important those ancient myths were. They weren't just for entertainment, you know. They were a way to deal with real fears and anxieties, to find meaning and hope in a world that could feel overwhelming.
Exactly. They provided a way to understand the universe, to make sense of the challenges we face, and to celebrate how resilient the human spirit is when facing adversity.
It also makes you appreciate how powerful storytelling is. These myths, they've been passed down for generations, and they still speak to us today, even though our understanding of the world has changed so much.
They do. And it's because they touch on something fundamental about being human, our need to find meaning in the middle of chaos. To celebrate heroes who represent our ideals, and to believe that we can triumph over adversity.
We've covered a lot in this deep dive. We've explored how Indra rose to power, his role as king of the gods and protector of cosmic order, his epic battle against Vritra, and how he eventually became a less central figure in Hinduism.
We also looked at his complex personality, his flaws, his vulnerabilities, and how those imperfections actually make him a more interesting hero. They make him more relatable, more human, and his victories mean even more because they show how hard it is to maintain balance in a world that's always changing.
It's been an amazing journey through ancient myths and beliefs. We've explored themes that are still important today. The battle between order and chaos, what it means to be a hero, how belief systems change, and the power of stories.
And before we finish this exploration of Indra's world, I want to leave our listeners with something to think about, a question to ponder.
Ooh, I like a good cliffhanger.
Oh.
What's the question?
Well, if gods are, in a lot of ways, reflections of the societies that create them, what does the way Indra's role changed from the main god to a less important one? What does that tell us about how Indian civilization itself evolved? And how do these ancient myths, with their timeless themes of heroism, struggle, and the search for meaning, how do they still speak to us today?
That's a great question, and I think it'll make our listeners think. It reminds us that the exploration doesn't stop here. There's always more to discover, more to learn, and more to think about when it comes to these ancient stories and their legacy. It really is amazing, you know, how these ancient myths can still speak to us after all these years. It's like that battle between order and chaos, those complex heroes, the search for meaning. It all feels just as powerful today as it did back in the time of the Vedas.
I agree. And Indra's story, it's a great way to look at these big human questions that never really go away. He reminds us that even the most powerful people, they face struggles, they get knocked down, and those perfect heroes, yeah, they're pretty rare.
Yeah, and it's like his flaws, those vulnerable parts of him, they actually make his wins feel even bigger, more important, because it shows how much effort he put in, the sacrifices he made, that pure determination to overcome all the bad stuff and keep things balanced in a world that never stops changing.
Exactly. Indra's story, it's not just about raw strength or some godlike power. It's about getting back up, having the guts to face chaos head on, and that never give up human spirit that keeps pushing for order and meaning, even when things seem totally impossible.
I think that message really hits home right now, you know, when the world feels so chaotic and unpredictable. We've got climate change, social unrest, political divisions. It's easy to feel overwhelmed by it all.
It is. But even with all this uncertainty, Indra's story reminds us that we've got what it takes to face these challenges. We can strive for balance. We can build a better, more harmonious world. He represents that resilience, that refusal to let chaos win, that I think we all need to find within ourselves.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that we're not alone in this, right? Humans have been wrestling with these same questions, these same anxieties forever. And the myths they created, the stories they passed down, they give us guidance, inspiration, a connection to something bigger than ourselves.
Absolutely. These myths, they're not just old dusty relics. They're living stories that are still shaping how we see the world, where we fit in. They give us a way to understand the complexity of being human, to face our own weaknesses, and to celebrate those moments when the human spirit triumphs.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Indra's world, I really hope our listeners come away with a fresh appreciation for myth, you know, for the power of these ancient stories, how relevant they still are, and what they can teach us about being human.
And don't forget, the exploration doesn't end here. Keep asking questions, keep exploring, and keep discovering that rich tapestry of human history and all the wisdom it holds. There's always more to learn, more to uncover, and more to connect with as we keep trying to understand ourselves and the world around us.
Well said. Thanks for coming along on this epic adventure with us. And until next time, keep diving deep.